You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome in to another Film Friday episode here at Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar, the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Get 25% off today for Black Friday at BuiltBar.com. I hope everybody had a very happy Thanksgiving yesterday and celebrated it as best you could. Back here with the final episode of the week after the holiday off. On today's episode, we're going to start off with injury status as well as game status updates. The injury report is pretty lengthy for both teams, but after three positive COVID tests for Denver, questions about Sunday's game are beginning to stir. So I'll update you on all of that before getting to our film breakdown of the Denver Broncos. Where are they struggling? Where are they performing? And what can the Saints do to attack them? Then to wrap up the show, we're joined by my good friend Chrissy Freud, quarterback analyst, and much more to talk Taysom Hill. How well did he perform in his first start? What does he need to improve moving forward? And what are the next steps for the interim New Orleans Saints starting quarterback? As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at Locked On NFL. We got all that and a little bit of land yap for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. As the New Orleans Saints and Denver Broncos get ready to square off Sunday afternoon, there's a lot of health concerns for both of these teams, both with lengthy injury reports as well as three positive COVID tests in Denver. How will that affect the game? That's our New Orleans Saints lead story of the day today with Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints. So we have a developing story in Denver right now with three positive COVID tests popping Friday morning, one player, two coaches. Now, a lot of people are starting to ask questions about whether or not this means that there will be no game on Sunday because the Broncos have had to shut down their training facility for the day. There's a couple of things that we have to keep in mind here. And the first of which is the rule about whether or not games will be moved or postponed. A game will only be moved or postponed if it is deemed unsafe to play. It does not matter who the player is. You can't move the game or postpone the game or cancel the game by any means because of competitive edge. It doesn't matter who the player is that tested positive. It just matters if there is enough spread within the organization and within the roster that it would become unsafe to play on Sunday against New Orleans Saints. The Saints are scheduled to travel tomorrow on Saturday ahead of the game on Sunday. So we'll see how much more information we get by then. Certainly Saturday morning, we'll hear more about tests that were given on Friday and that they were waiting to get results back from. They're going to have to do the contact tracing and figure out who was closest to the player that did test positive, as well as the two coaches that tested positive. So we'll see what this means, or let me say two staffers that tested positive. So we'll see what this means for the game. But as of right now, all that it means is that whoever that player is, whoever those coaches are, shouldn't expect to be on the sideline on Sunday unless those were indeed false positives, which we'll have to wait and find out more detail on that. So while that information continues to roll in, we can take a look at the Saints and Denver Broncos injury report. Both of these injury reports pretty lengthy, with 8 players named for the New Orleans Saints and 13 players named for the Denver Broncos. Now, obviously, we won't go through all 13 players over in Denver, but we can start there. A couple of key injuries to take a look at. First of all, you have two did not participate in practice on Thursday, Trey Marshall, as well as wide receiver Jerry Jeudy. Wide receiver Jerry Jeudy is definitely a big one to watch. The young rookie, very talented, very skilled, dealing with an ankle slash Achilles injury, was actually downgraded from being limited on Wednesday to did not practice on Thursday. Another big key injury to keep an eye out on is going to be linebacker Malik Reed, who's tied for the team lead in sacks with 6 alongside Bradley Chubb. He is dealing with an ankle injury that downgraded him from full on Wednesday to limited on Thursday. The offensive line in Denver has been dealing with a ton of injuries all throughout the season, but just recently got back 2 big pieces of their offensive line, particularly over on the right side in guard Graham Glasgow, as well as tackle Damar Dotson. Both of those players did not practice on Wednesday, but were elevated to limited participation on Thursday, worth watching going into Friday. We'll break down a little bit more about what the offensive line looks like for the Denver Broncos in our Film Friday segment coming up here in just a moment. But for now, we'll jump over to the Saints practice participation report. Josh Hill, Dwayne Washington, and Marshawn Lattimore all back to being full participants in practice both Wednesday and Thursday. At this moment, we don't expect a change for any of those three players on Friday, but we'll have to see. Remember, with the NFL bumping up all of their COVID protocols here recently. There's no media observance at practice any longer, so we don't really know anything until the injury report comes out. So it is going to take a little bit longer, as opposed to getting the observations and then the practice participation report. Is going to take a little bit longer for us to learn if there are any changes in status. But for right now, Wednesday and Thursday, all three of those players listed as full. That's good news for the Saints, particularly with Marshon Lattimore and Josh Hill. The Saints, however, do have two did not participates both on Wednesday and Thursday, both Deontay Harris and Andres Pete, who's dealing with a concussion. Both of those players listed as did not practice on Wednesday and Thursday. Keep an eye out on Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara, both of them listed as limited for both days. And then Ty Montgomery, who was downgraded from full to limited with a hamstring injury from Wednesday to Thursday. So we'll be getting our Friday practice participation report later on today, which will also include game status information, but another developing story still on the way with Denver and its three positive COVID tests heading into the weekend. So now we will dig into our preview of this game on Sunday. We'll do our film Friday. I went and broke down the last three games of the Denver Broncos and put together a list of some places where they perform well, some places where they struggle, and specifically where the Saints can attack, including that offensive line we were just talking about, as well as dealing with both injuries and youth. How can the Saints take advantage? We'll talk about that next here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. But before we get to that Broncos breakdown, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by our good friends over at Pepsi. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you choose to watch this season. Look, I'm very excited as the Saints just continue to get better and better. Now they have three winnable opponents up ahead of them. Even with Taysom Hill under center, there's just so much excitement going on around the New Orleans Saints, and I can't wait to continue to see how this team grows and what this team does next. And Pepsi is a refreshment that you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, family, it is Locked On Saints with your host Ross Jackson at Ross Jackson Nola on Twitter. This is our final episode of the week, but don't forget to come back on Monday, where we either celebrate with a victory Monday or we'll commiserate, of course, with our sad boy Monday, depending on whether or not the Saints win or lose. But as you know, be right back at you Sunday night, Monday morning to get you ready for the next full week, Monday through Friday, of Locked On Saints, recapping the game. Now, let's go ahead and get started previewing this game on Sunday. The New Orleans Saints going up against the Denver Broncos. If you haven't heard the crossover Thursday episode with myself and Cody Roark from Locked On Broncos, go and check that out. That was actually on Wednesday this week, the day before Thanksgiving. So if you missed it, go and check that out. A lot of fantastic information from Cody on that team, and he's just an all-around good dude and awesome dude to listen to anyway. So go and check him out. That'll be on that's the Wednesday episode from this week. But let's go ahead and break it down here today now. So we'll talk a little bit about you probably hear my pages rustling in the back. I'm a tactile guy. I write notes down. I don't take them on my computer. I'm a weirdo. But let's take a look at it. So we've got offense, we've got defense. So we're going to take a look at the Broncos, what it is they do well, where it is they struggle on each side of the ball, and then interspersed throughout that will also answer the question how it is that the Saints can attack each of those things. So let's start off with the Broncos defense, because I still think that the New Orleans Saints offense is going to be the biggest question coming into this game, just because, you know, they've got a brand new quarterback. So it makes a ton of sense. And you want to see if he's going to be able to repeat the success that he had against a familiar division opponent at home against an unfamiliar non-conference opponent away from home. Completely the opposite is what this game feels like for Taysom Hill. So this is going to be a pretty good measuring stick for him. Of course, not worried about the cold weather, not worried about it being outdoors. He played at BYU. You know, he'll be fine. But I am interested to see how he performs away from home in an unfamiliar environment against an unfamiliar team. So let's take a look at the Broncos defense to start. On the season so far, this is a pretty good matchup for Taysom Hill making a second start in the NFL. The Broncos defense so far has given up a 90.8 passer rating all told throughout the season so far. That's the 10th lowest across the NFL. 224.8 passing yards per game given up. And since the season began, the Denver Broncos are giving up a very favorable completion percentage within 15 yards of the line of scrimmage. And this has been really bolstered over the last few games, just watching over on tape. 76% over on the left side of the field, 62% over the middle, 80% completion percentage allowed over the right side. And in particular, they've also given up an 86% completion percentage over to the left side on second down. Now, the reason why that's important is because Taysom Hill was very comfortable throwing to the outside left in his first start against the Atlanta Falcons. He completed 4 of 4 passes on the left side for 83. I think it was 83 or 84 yards. And then if you look over on the right side, he also threw four passes, but only completed 2 of those for 10 yards. So the left side is where Taysom Hill is very comfortable. The Saints have gotten a little bit more comfortable as well, throwing on the early first and second down marks. They're at 51.1%, which puts them right at the middle of the NFL. Remember, that was a stat, or a metric rather, that they were at the very bottom of the NFL, and because they were leaning early on the run game so much. Now, all of a sudden, the Saints feeling a little bit more comfortable passing over these last few games. That, of course, includes some of Drew Brees' games as well, not just the Taysom Hill game. Now, let's go back and take a look at the Broncos' defense. Their sacks, 28 sacks, 7th in the NFL over the course of this season. Again, 12 of those 28 sacks coming from two players in Bradley Chubb and Malik Reed. Malik Reed is the linebacker with the ankle injury who was downgraded from full to limited on Thursday. Very important to look out for his name. And also 11th in quarterback hits for this team. One of the big tests for the New Orleans Saints is going to be converting in the red zone. They already have shown that they're very comfortable with Taysom Hill in the red zone, even when Drew Brees was healthy. But the Denver Broncos giving up only 48.6%, or allowing only 48.6% of red zone possessions to turn into touchdowns. That's the second best in the NFL. Now, don't forget the last time that happened, the Saints went absolutely nuts and they were just fine. But that's going to be a very interesting metric to watch, because the Denver Broncos over the last three games have been very effective in the red zone in those games alone. So this is something that is not just a recent trend or a trend that was weighted early on in the season. This is something that they've done very consistently. And of course, getting AJ Boye back, getting back some of their starting corners, and not having to march out old, name that Saints fans will remember in Devontae Harris, not having to march him out on field, definitely makes a big difference for them. And the other thing about that secondary too is that this secondary only has 7 interceptions on the season, and Justin Simmons has most of those with 4 interceptions, and Bryce Callahan, the other starting corner that, again, I mentioned on the injury report earlier, has 2 interceptions. Those are the only two. Those are 2 out of the 3 players with interceptions on their team. Deshaun Williams also has one, the defensive tackle. So they don't get a ton of takeaways. In fact, they're actually at the bottom of the league in terms of turnover differential so far this season at minus 13. They're tied with the Dallas Cowboys. The Saints should be able to comfortably move the ball through the air and should be able to comfortably move the ball on the ground. And one of the ways they'll be able to comfortably move the ball on the ground is by doing so by attacking the perimeter. Now, they just finished a game up against the Atlanta Falcons in which they have very athletic linebackers. And in Denver, for Denver's defense, you've got one of those in terms of off-ball linebackers, and that's Josie Jewell. Josie Jewell can carry a tight end up the seam. He can cover a running back out in the flat. He can fill holes and fill assignments and get wins in the run game. But for the most part, the Saints should be able to take advantage of the lack of athleticism at the second level for Denver by running to the outside. So that's one of the reasons why I get a little bit concerned still seeing Alvin Kamara dealing with this foot injury. I believe it's still a toe injury. He didn't really have a huge game last week. No catches for the first time in his career. They spent most of their time north and south between the tackles running with Latavius Murray. Not really many touches for Alvin Kamara in terms of allowing him to really impact the game. Now, he did have 13 carries, don't get me wrong, but still a little bit of a different game than you used to see from Alvin Kamara. Maybe this is that get right game here from over the last couple of weeks. But, look, I'm not too concerned about Alvin Kamara, but this is a good matchup for them to be able to utilize him, or even Taysom Hill in the run game as well, and utilizing him out on the perimeter. Now, we just talked about turnover differential for the Denver Broncos. The Saints should be able to move the ball pretty comfortably, but also they should be looking to get some takeaways here. The Broncos have thrown the most interceptions in the NFL so far this season with 17. They also have the most giveaways in the NFL, tied again with the Dallas Cowboys with 23. And again, 17 of those are interceptions. So this is something that the Saints should be able to take advantage of. Drew Lock gets rocked. I mean, that's just, and I don't even mean to rhyme or even mean to make it sound cute. It's just simply that, like, his concentration can get rocked pretty quickly. And so if the Saints defensive line can win against the Denver Broncos offensive line, and according to Larry Holder, that should actually be pretty simple to do up the middle. He shared a stat on Twitter this morning via Sports Info Solutions that Lloyd Cushenberry, their young, talented starting center out of LSU, has 25 blown blocks so far. I believe it was 14 in the run game and 11 in the passing game. That's second most in the NFL. So they'll look to take advantage of what they can get up the middle. And if Graham Glasgow isn't able to play, or if he's hampered in any way, that could spell a very big game again for David Onyemata, who's going to look to attack up the middle. So if they can get pressure up the middle, if they can limit the run game up the middle, there's not really much that Denver has the ability to do. I mean, they struggle throwing the ball so far this season. 7 touchdowns, 11 picks, and a lower than 70 passer rating so far this season for Drew Lock. If rookie Jerry Jeudy can't go, then probably the most reliable wide receiver that they have is going to be Tim Patrick, who's basically an Alan Lazard, so that'll be worth watching. And then they'll have the matchup in the slot with KJ Hamler and CJ Gardner-Johnson. That should be a ton of fun. But again, this is a team that abandons the run game very quickly if it doesn't work. They're going to look to pass quickly and quick developing routes. That's really the way that this offense gets moving. But once you have Drew Lock in the backfield holding onto the ball, reading the defense and having to make a decision, you tend to be able to take advantage of it. And that's how he throws, you know, the enough interceptions that even if he's missed a couple of games, he and his backups have combined for the most interceptions in the NFL thrown so far. So the Saints should be able to take advantage of that by getting a pass rush on Drew Lock. So it's a pretty simple list of keys in this game. Get pressure on Drew Lock, be opportunistic on defense, run the ball and control the perimeter. That's really all you have to do to win this game. And I think that running the ball is going to be a big emphasis in this game, whether it's running with Taysom Hill or running with those running backs, a tandem of running backs that the Saints have. And Latavius Murray is just getting better. Hopefully Alvin Kamara is able to get back on track this week. So for the Saints this week, it comes down to execution and health. That's what it comes down to. The Saints should be able to go into Denver and win this game. All right, y'all, coming up next, we're going to be joined by Chrissy Freud, quarterback analyst, as well as many other credits across the interwebs. So we'll get into chatting with her about Taysom Hill. How well did he perform in his first game? What improvements are left to be made? And what's the next step for the interim quarterback? That's coming up next for you here on Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, Houdini, so we're closing out today's show with a visit from somebody that I very, very much respect, my good friend Chrissy Freud, who you can follow on Twitter at Chrissy_Freud. She is a fantastic quarterback analyst, always able to break it down for us. She also spent some time writing over at LSU Wire covering the LSU Tigers, Titans Wire covering the Tennessee Titans, also with PFN and the Advocate Baton Rouge. Chrissy, very glad to have you here with us. Let's go ahead and dive right into this. With Taysom Hill getting his first start last week against the Atlanta Falcons, performing the way that he did, what's sort of your general overview of his performance in his first NFL start?
Well, I mean, I've always kind of been of the opinion that Taysom Hill is better than Jameis Winston. I don't think that really comes as a surprise to anyone who's kept up with my work. But at the same time, yeah. I mean, as I mentioned in an earlier show, I do separate Taysom from the other guys just in the aspect that he's a very unique player. I was telling someone the other day that it's kind of like, I mean, they created a gimmick off the guy basically that other people are now trying to copy. And I said, you know, the more that I see of it and the more gadget players I work with, the more gadget players I watch, the more I see teams kind of try to make their own Taysom Hill. Is there truly only one Taysom Hill? And I'm beginning to think that there is, because I think that one thing that you find with some of these guys is that they're not necessarily the next Taysom Hill. They're just players that don't really excel at any one position, but they can play several positions pretty adequately. As for his overall performance as a quarterback, I thought that it was all right. I mean, there are some things that could have been better. It was his first time starting at quarterback in the NFL. So I think we kind of expected there to be some road bumps, but it did get better as time went on. I think that we were all a little bit disappointed just from the quarterback aspect alone to see that there's no passing touchdown in that stat sheet, right. But there's also no interception, which is equally good, especially for a player like that to be playing quarterback. You know, 18 of 23 passes, 233 yards. It's not a bad stat line. He did what he needed to do to get the win. I thought that they really won in dominant fashion. There were some decision-making things I'd like to see a little bit different, but there were also some good decisions made. So I think that Sean Payton has to be pleased with this one. I don't think there's a reason to not be, but there's definitely some room for growth, and the foundation has been it's been set well. And I know that I read somewhere that Sean had kind of had a hard time apparently making the decision between him and Jameis. So I guess it is a bit close, but I think he had the right guy in for the game, and I think he got the job done.
What specifically, if anything, about Taysom Hill's performance surprised you, would you say?
I would say just how adequate he was. I think that I've never seen, I guess I have on some other subjects before, but just he's so polarizing. There are very few players that are as polarizing in the same way that he is, especially among a fan base. And I think it's just so funny how we see people go back and forth and back and forth. One thing that absolutely irks me is someone who is either dogging a player or super high on a player and will just turn on a dime. And I mean, there's some players that'll, like KJ Costello, you, like, that happened to me.
Sure.
And you have to kind of learn to scale back, but you should do it gradually. And I mean, more than most players that I've seen is just Twitter and just people in general go, he is this, very adamantly, like he's so good. Like, thank God the Saints have him. Like, there will never be another him. Like, he's one of the most valuable players in this aspect. And then sometimes it's the same person or just Twitter in general. And it's, oh my God, the Taysom Hill thing is failing. Like, it'll never work. The general concept of the gadget player is bogus, blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, geez, Louise, it's like, there's no middle ground whatsoever. Yes. I haven't really seen very many people have, like, except for praise Nick Underhill. Nick Underhill has done some of the best work on Taysom Hill and has had some of the best outlook just in general on this guy. Just, he is what he is. He is what he is going to be, but let's give him some time to prove it. And I mean, there were some people that were like, well, based on this performance from like God knows how many years ago, we don't think that this is going to work. And I think that the proof is in this, this, and this. And I'm like, well, I mean, it's a new time. It's a new era. Mm-hmm. It's an NFL team, different circumstances, different roster, Sean Payton's idea. He's had this guy on for quite a while. So, I mean, I think that he knows what he was doing. And I think to an extent that I think that Sean Payton kind of got a certain amount of just personal joy being able to put his Swiss Army knife in at quarterback and do what he wanted to do.
And the way that I've said it over and over again is that Taysom Hill solidified himself in the conversation for the heir apparent conversation, but the decision's not made yet, but he should no longer be an afterthought in that conversation for people. So he's gradually moving up after one game. Did you see enough of him as a pure passer to say that he could be somebody that can take over this Sean Payton, scheme? And is there enough of Sean Payton to be able to change and move around in order to really accentuate what it is that Taysom Hill could bring in from a unique side as well?
I mean, one thing that we can look at is, granted that the Saints do have a very good defense, he outperformed Matt Ryan. So there is that.
Yeah, there you go. I'll take that.
And then, as far as just looking at a matter of completions, like I said, it's a shame that we don't have a passing touchdown. I think that every quarterback needs to have passing touchdowns in their stat line, but this is one game. But 18 of 23, any quarterback at any level on any day is going to be happy with completing 18 of 23 passes. I mean, that shows accuracy, that shows adequate decision making. Like I said before, I do think that it was a little bit rough going at times, the beginning, but the thing that's so important to look at is how he did settle in and how he did get progressively better. And this is only one game, but he has shown that he can settle into this offense, that he does understand this offense very well, even playing in that role, and that he can make that upward momentum. So granted that we can take more games and that he can continue to show that, continue to gradually improve over those games, I mean, I think that they have something here. Taysom Hill has insisted over and over again, as I mentioned, that he can be a quarterback, that he can play quarterback, and he's getting his chance to prove it. And I think that he's taking advantage of it.
And once again, it's Chrissy Freud at Chrissy_Freud on Twitter. Go ahead and throw her a follow. But when we get to looking at what he performed, what do you think that Taysom feels like was the most important thing that he proved on Sunday in his win against Atlanta?
I think just proving that he does have the foundation to play quarterback and that he can progressively get better and that he can lead this offense to a win when I think everyone doubted him. I think a lot of people thought Atlanta was going to win this game or that he was going to have this absolutely awful performance, because I saw a lot more negativity than positivity when I was just, you know, kind of looking around for predictions and just the general vibe on this one heading into the game.
Yeah, absolutely. So you spend so much time with quarterbacks. You do an amazing job breaking down quarterbacks. All the work that you've done, including folks that have been in and out of the Saints locker room, Tommy Stevens, you're very close. You've been in contact with him. I got from you that he was trying out with the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. Your in-depth looks at both Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. What's next for Taysom Hill? And where do you want to see him improve as early as Sunday against the Denver Broncos?
I think just overall passing ability. To be honest, like I said, you do need those passing touchdowns. So I think just getting comfortable making all the throws, the short throws, intermediate throws, long balls, just all of it, just adjusting in general to throwing the ball all over the field and becoming comfortable on that and becoming good with that. Because I think with any player that has played multiple positions and that has spent time in multiple positions, I mean, they're behind the others. to an extent, right, just by nature, because they're not asked to do that as much. And I know I've mentioned before that the air raid offense is something that I study a lot. And one concept that I really pull from that is just repetition. I think that goes for anything, is just getting the reps. And I think that Taysom Hill has shown us that he does have the ability, and it's a matter of reps, and it's a matter of him consistently doing it and consistently delivering on an every Sunday basis.
I love it. Chrissy, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. Make sure y'all follow Chrissy on Twitter at Chrissy_Freud. Check out all of her fantastic work, LSU Wire, Titans Wire, PFN, the Advocate BR, everything all over the place. Chrissy, I appreciate you very much taking the time to come through here and bless with a little bit of knowledge today.
All right. Thank you.
All right, family. Once again, one more big thank you to Chrissy Freud. Throw her a follow at Chrissy, CRISSY_Freud, FROYD on Twitter. Always a pleasure talking to her and getting the breakdown on some of these quarterbacks, and in particular, Taysom Hill here as well. So I will be back with y'all on Monday, hopefully to recap a big win as the 8-2 New Orleans Saints go to take on the 4-6 Denver Broncos in Denver in the Sunday afternoon game. Coming back with that victory Monday, or sad boy Monday, on Monday to kick off our fresh week Monday through Friday here at Locked On Saints. As always, I thank you very much for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support and for helping me grow this family. It's been Locked On Saints, and trust to that nation. I'll holla at you.